Like
I don't understand why you have to dig so deep into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Mod State Podcast. We're back. So, as you've noticed, we have kind of decreased our quantity, if you will, of podcasts that have been going out. A little bit of that is moving towards the YouTube segment, as you can see here. And a bit of that is just trying to allow for listeners to play a little catch up. So we've been definitely pumping out podcasts, and it's been great. We're just trying a little bit of a new strategy, and hopefully we can kind of supplement the lack of audio podcasts with YouTube as well. We'll see. It's evolving. So let's get the pleasantries out of the way. Obviously, if you like what you hear at the Mod State Podcast, please go to modstate.com where you can find more op-ed and opinion pieces, as well as links to the podcast and to our social media accounts. So you can find me at @themodstate_Nate. That's at Twitter, and then, of course, our Instagram as well. You can jump on there. I do have a special guest tonight, and that is the one, Sarah Goodlaxon.
Hello, everyone.
So you remember Sarah from our, we did a podcast a while ago on
the Women's March.
Yes, the Women's March.
When that happened.
Yeah.
We attended.
We did attend. I'm going to just push that close.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. So yeah, we did the Women's March. That was pretty good listener feedback. So we're back again. So the reason I wanted you to come on this podcast, and video for that matter, was to discuss something that I believe you have a pretty strong background in. And that is, of course, the internets.
The interwebs.
Now, you are a digital marketer.
Digital marketing manager.
And
don't forget that management portion.
I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. For all of those of you out there who are looking for
girl power.
Let me turn off my cell phone here. So there's obviously been quite a bit of, well, it's really an emerging story right now, and that is the whole Cambridge Analytica and the, what'd you say? Some people say
scandal.
It's a scandal, right?
It's a massive scandal.
So that's, and I never thought of it quite that way, because we see things like Equifax and data was hacked, and that's bad, but it's bad in a way where it's nefarious actors, hackers that, mm-hmm. that break through a firewall and steal social security numbers. This Cambridge Analytica is very different. It's actually, we'll get into it.
Mind blowing.
It actually is when you get to the bottom of it. I don't care what end of the political ideology spectrum you're on.
That has no bearing on what is happening and has happened.
So I wanted to walk through a couple things first. Before, because as everyone says in these days, what do you know? Why do you get to talk on this, and why are you the expert here? And I will say that you know more about digital marketing and how we get the ads that we get.
How the interwebs work.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So,
and I have found that some things that I kind of take for granted and think are common knowledge about how I get my data and how I serve ads to you and really how I do my job, that is not common knowledge.
No, it's absolutely not common knowledge at all. I don't know half of... So can we just dispel something?
Sure.
Very quickly.
Facebook does not listen to you through your phone.
Okay.
I know where you're going.
Well, I wanted to give you this moment because this is what I originally wanted to do the podcast on. And we have had multiple discussions about this, and I've tried on my phone where I said, okay, Google, I really want a snowmobile.
Snowmobile.
And I said it, you know, 5 or 6 times.
Trying to get those keywords, those buzzwords, like into Siri, into your phone.
Yeah. And let me tell you what, folks.
No ads for snowmobiles. Nothing.
So.
Because that's not how it works.
And you've had multiple conversations online with people about this issue.
Which is never really the right platform to try and have serious conversations with people. But sometimes that's how you can reach them. And that is where a lot of the conversations are happening. Sure.
So before we dive into this Cambridge Analytica, how exactly, as a marketer online, do you target people? Or maybe this is a business secret, but how are we getting the ads? So it just happened the other day. I was looking up compression socks for running, and I just went to online compression socks. And the next week at work, I was looking at compression socks at work. I was retargeted, and they kept popping up everywhere I was online. So were they listening to me? Yes. Or were they just...
They have infiltrated your brain, and they know what you're thinking. Mm. I'm kidding.
So that's what a lot of people think, though,
they
right?
They do. Yeah. And I'll just first start by saying, because you asked the question, why do I even get a voice in this? I attended business school and graduated with a degree in business administration with a focus in marketing. I've been a digital marketing manager, specifically management position, for the past 2.5 years. I've been working at my establishment for over 4, been in marketing for over 8. And this is what I do day in and day out. I work for a web development and design company. We're strong in digital marketing. I head up that side of that. We do SEO, which is search engine optimization, which means I try and get your website on the first page of Google. Search engine marketing, and I also do social media management and social media campaigns.
So if I was a company, Nate Welline Limited, or let's just say Mod State, for example, and said, hey, I want you to run an ad campaign for my specific brand, I would come to you, and then you essentially do what with it?
I would do my magic.
Oh.
So, and I would get you out there.
That's the trade secret.
Oh, yeah. So, and your other question about retargeting. So the way that happens is that cookies, and not the delicious chocolate chip edible cookies that your grandma bakes when you come to see her. But there are cookies in your browser which are dropped, and basically those act as little data points. And we are able to know which websites you have visited. I can even know on my specific website how long you've been there, what you've looked at, what you've clicked on.
So when you come to my website, there's analytics that are created, right?
Yes.
And that's where you get that. You're not nefariously going into people's computers and looking.
You cannot, no. Yeah. Well, I mean, you could. However, I'm not a hacker, and I am very, very strong in business ethics and being the quote-unquote, I guess, good guy, there's definitely a good and bad guy in this this Facebook scandal.
So you had a good example of a bad guy, and in your daily life, not so much Cambridge Analytica, but just an idea of who are these bad guys, or not necessarily bad guys, but just people that aren't playing by the same business ethics. So yes, you had a good example of that.
Are we talking about the...
The comment with a user.
Yeah.
That when you click on the user, it takes
them... The user
them-
is not associated... Okay, so let's just back up here really quickly, and we'll fill you in on what you guys are talking about, because the majority of the time when Nate and I are driving someplace, we always dive into some kind of a deep conversation, whether that's, you know, the Cambridge Analytica scandal or... religion or whatnot. But today I was telling him how I discovered people trying to gain legitimate backlinks from our website to their website, which means that our website, the company I work for, is very established. We've been around for 2 decades. Our website holds a lot of clout, per se, with Google. Google knows that we are a legitimate company with great content and, you know, people that are visiting our site all the time. So what these people have done, our blog gets a lot of traffic, and they have gone in and they've created a quote unquote user, which is not associated with any person, but it's associated with the website. So when they post a comment under our blog, that immediately is linking to their website instead of an actual person. So that's kind of an under the rug, I would call that black hat, way of getting a link on our website back to theirs.
So
I will mark them as spam and kick them out the door.
So then what happens a lot of the time with these companies are they'll say, that, hey, we are local to this area. We're local to Detroit. We're local to Denver.
That is another thing I found today.
They've got an address. They've got a phone number.
But the phone number is not a legitimate phone number associated with the address that they have given, nor did this company even reside in that. It was the Renson specifically, which is like super legit. If you're in the Renson, it's the Renson, right?
That's the Renaissance Center
in Detroit. Renaissance Center in downtown Detroit, like right on the, you know, the waterfront. But I looked up, I mean, this was a stupid mistake. However, most people would not do this kind of digging, but I looked up their address and a like real estate company actually resided in that specific address in that specific suite. And I looked at the phone number, which downtown Detroit 313, what's up? And the phone number was associated with 517. So
the plot thickens.
It does. And so, what I discovered that they did specifically, they were based out of a different state. They hired a freelancer who works out of her home. It is a woman specifically. And they lied and they presented themselves as something they were not online, which I think kind of brings us into the next thing we were talking about, which is convenience and believability.
Yeah. So I had actually, I literally asked you, hey, let's come on this podcast and talk about these ads and stuff, because I think it is interesting in the context of Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah.
So let me give you an example. So we're going to talk about believability here and your something you brought up, and especially with online marketing, digital marketing, mm-hmm. and just what we see on social, that we are a culture today because of social media, probably.
Because of the internet and the easy accessibility of information.
That we really have this 20-second, just...
not even three.
Yeah, 3-second time frame that we're just capturing something and moving on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see specific things that fit our narrative.
Yes.
And we're not inclined to click on it. It's maybe promoted by a left-wing type of organization, or maybe it's promoted by a right-wing organization, and the headline just says something that fits your narrative, and you don't go and really research more. And I've argued this over and over on this podcast. I've told John this over and over, that I think there is a responsibility on the end user, on Americans, when we're making calls in elections, that we do our research. And you brought up the really good point.
I've written blogs about this before, even for my work. I've slipped that in there somehow.
But we become creatures of convenience.
Yes.
And
not even habit, just convenience and laziness.
But if you're lazy and you don't, and you take most of these things with a grain of salt, and, you know, could be true, could not be true. But if you're politically, ideologically charged, then it's like priming. In psychology, what you can do, and I've said this before in the podcast, so sorry for anybody who remembers this, you can literally prime somebody with a number over and over, very subtly prime them over and over. If you can think back to the Will Smith movie where he was, I can't remember the name of it, but he was a gambler down in New Orleans, and they're hustlers. And he primed this gambler, by having him guess a number in the Super Bowl. And he had him just look at binoculars and said, I'll bet you $200,000 that I'll be able to guess the number. Mm-hmm. And he primed the number 10 all over the stadium.
Yeah.
And so the guy picked 10, and he's how the hell do you know that? Well, that's what's happening. You can be primed by, so I'll use this for example, and I'm not trying to steal the limelight here, but as we move into this Cambridge Analytica, what we're finding is that a certain company really used the profiles of millions of individuals and somewhat primed them with propaganda to subtly sway them and influence them. And we are creatures. We can be primed. Every single one of us can be primed. And this is where it becomes. So, for example, we'll get into who Robert Mercer is and this group. But what they found, towards the final weeks of the 2016 election, voters in swing states like Nevada and North Carolina began seeing eerie promotional travel ads as they strolled through their Facebook feeds or clicked through Google sites. In one, a woman with a French accent cheerfully welcomed visitors to the Islamic State of France, where under Sharia law, you can enjoy everything the Islamic State of France has to offer, as long as you follow the rules. Okay. We won't go. So the Mona Lisa is shown looking down. The ad says, as a woman should, covered in a burqa.
I'm sorry, I'm out of the kitchen.
Yeah, you. How dare you? So this was a very clear targeted act at individuals. Now, I think most moderate Americans will look at this and go, what the hell is this? But you can't help but be in the environment that you're in. I mean, regardless of Islamophobia, we do live in a post era where we have been at war in the Middle East for, close to 18 years. Well, 17, 16 years, over 15 years. We have the Syrian refugee crisis in Europe. And so there is migration. There Islamic State is a real thing, but they're stoking the fears. And I think anyone that doesn't do the research and doesn't know exactly what's going on can look at something like that and wonder how real that is.
I think we maybe need to back up and explain to people.
We will.
Okay, great.
Yes. So this is just my example of kind of targeting. But let's break down, and I'll let you take the floor, on sort of what has happened here with Cambridge Analytica and why it is this horrifically crazy thing that it is.
Yeah. So where do I even start? The one thing that kind of jogged my memory and kind of lit a fire. I was talking to a high school friend of mine on Facebook. And we're kind of mentioning Cambridge Analytica, and we're both in advertising, right?
Yeah.
And he kind of made the comment that what was done in this Cambridge Analytica circumstance is so much different than what we do as advertisers and marketers. So I have written down some points to try and explain to you guys the normal kind of data that we collect and how we target people, which will kind of set the stage for you to understand this
debacle.
Yeah, this absolute debacle. So when I am and specifically running campaigns on social, and I run campaigns on Google, which is like AdWords, et cetera, et cetera, but specifically on social media and specifically on Facebook, I gather data points for everything. And I can target you based on your age, your geographical location, your radius, your town, your state, your country, your gender, even down to your interests and your job title or your salary range. I can target you if you like swimming pools or if you love gymnastics or if you love the NBA playoffs. My interest
very subtle, like, or not subtle, but very nice things that you can target.
I mean, like I said, targeting is almost unlimited. And this targeting and data has been gathered by Facebook, which is one thing that they are saying in this whole scandal is they are going to limit data mining from outside sources, but they're not going to necessarily within their privacy settings and agreements going to limit the data that they can gather from Facebook users. So Facebook specifically will still be able to, you know, run ads, get data, et cetera, et cetera. So other data points that I am able to get from the campaigns that I run are reach, like how many people I've been able to reach with my campaigns, how many impressions. So if your ad, even you scroll past it, I get an impression. I know how many people have clicked. I know their DMA region. I know the cost per result. I know the device that you clicked on my ad with.
We've never been this deep. Like, it's...
Well, I mean, I'm not going to like explain my entire career to you in like a couple...
No, but it's kind of...
sentences or conversations even. I've been specifically doing social marketing since Facebook even announced that ads were coming out. I was, you know, telling my clients like, hey, Instagram's going to be really big. And, you know, pretty soon we're going to be able to advertise on Instagram. And I had people looking at me like I was crazy across the table. But now, you know, ads everywhere. So that's the kind of normal, quote unquote. And for some people, it's not normal for me to be able to target you based on anything, because I think people have an expectation of privacy no matter what. But
However,
these are the ethical ways that we are able to target you and, you know, influence you to buy products or services, not influence an entire culture, an entire country, try to sway them politically. This is so far.
Now
you can explain okay. Cambridge Analytica.
So I'll come to the defense a little bit, because I don't think that you necessarily shouldn't use the social media platform to campaign. I mean, Obama was very successful with that, but we'll, so, okay.
Yeah.
So.
And the one thing I do want to say before we go any further, and I think we'll talk a little bit, like, is Facebook complicit in what happened, et cetera. But the one thing I want to point out is that there are loopholes within third-party apps, and developers are able to take advantage of those loopholes and kind of manipulate privacy and the expectation of privacy. So Facebook specifically, and I've been saying this for a really long time, Facebook specifically is not just giving this information away. So think about anytime you've downloaded an app and you've given that specific permission to log in through Facebook. Sometimes that app and those developers that have created that app are able to skirt some loopholes and pull some strings and even in some cases, like, automatically download your entire contact list on your phone. Hmm. And if you think back to some of those things that maybe you've just clicked okay on, all for convenience, and you have specifically given that information away for free because you don't want to log in and log out of your app because you just want to take a couple seconds and save some time. So that sets the groundwork for everything that they were able to do.
Okay. So a professor at Cambridge, and I'm not putting a whole lot of names in here, but we'll keep the really important ones, created an app called where it's like your life, your digital life, something along those lines.
All one word.
Mm-hmm. And on that app, people were allowed, they were given the chance to take a survey. And this survey paid them a buck or two. And these are not uncommon. In fact, you can make
a lot of money.
You can make passive income by letting certain apps surveil your entire phone 24/7.
And I have allowed people to do that.
Yeah. You just have to know that that's what they're doing. And
you do it willingly.
They'll pay you $20 a month or something like that. So what had happened was
over 200,000 individuals willingly gave their information
in the survey. But what wound up happening is they were able to then data mine around 50 million other people. And that could be from friend to friend to friend, your contact list. Now we have 50 million individuals. We have data, and data is gold.
And that number is going up.
It is. There's some reports of 87 million.
87 million.
Yeah. And this information, so there's two companies. There's SCL and Cambridge Analytica.
SCL is...
it's supposedly the big umbrella. However, a lot of reports say that they're really just one in the same company. And these companies were actually started by...
dun, dun, dun.
Steve Bannon.
Whoa.
Yeah. Now, I didn't really know this until you started talking about it.
I didn't know it until yesterday.
Like, oh, you're right. And we did a Steve Bannon expose on this podcast, and I remember mentioning Cambridge Analytica and didn't even put it together. So anyway.
I was in my brother's coffee shop, shout out to Corvus, when I read this article, and it all just came full circle, and I audibly said, what the... in this quiet coffee shop, and just jaw dropped. Please continue. I'm sorry.
Cambridge Analytica was created, and essentially what they would do, they actually work with the military contractors, and the whole idea was to essentially go into foreign countries, and it's almost like psychological warfare. Mm-hmm. They go in, and they essentially change the cultural perception of X, Y, and Z.
Whatever they want to do.
It could be a military leader. It could be a presidential. It could be a king, an emperor. Whatever they'll do, they will go in and find ways to change the cultural perception. Now, most people in the United States would say, seems pretty fair. If there's a dictator, they go in and create these profiles. They push things out on social media. However they do it, and to overthrow someone who's bad. Where this becomes problematic is when
you have it turned around and used on you.
Yeah, one Cambridge Analytica and SCL then take the profiles of 50 million users, mostly American, and then turn around and do the same exact thing, but not in a foreign country
but
where it's warranted.
Data, of data gathered.
Oh, yes.
Unethically.
Inappropriately. So
without consent.
Yeah, so complete invasion of the Fourth Amendment's been violated. Well, I know it's not really the government, but your privacy has certainly been invaded. You have not given permission for Cambridge Analytica to have your profile, yet they turn around and then target you in the United States. So Cambridge Analytica said, look, here's the deal, man. We had no idea that these 50 million users,
where this data came from.
We didn't know where it came from. And as soon as we found out that
we deleted it,
we got rid of it.
Yeah, right.
50 million. I mean, so I would think as a digital marketer,
that is a pot of gold.
That's Scrooge McDuck money.
What I was telling Nate in the car is that,
so you're getting riled up. You're sitting up in the seat.
I am. This really grinds my gears, young man. Because as a digital marketer and just, I don't know, as a business professional in general, here's the example that I told him. If I had somebody, a client come to me and say, I really want to push out a newsletter on MailChimp, I would say, okay, do you have a newsletter list? And they say, yeah, I have 87 subscribers, even that small number. Or if they said, I have 87,000, 8,700, I would say, where did you get that list? Where did you get all of these emails from all of these people with their names and all this information? Did they give you consent to even send them a newsletter? And this is such a small, simple, tiny example. But if they tell me, well, I bought the list, or, well, I just have this information because these are my clients or whatever, I will not let them send out this newsletter because it's not an ethical business practice. So something even as small as sending a tiny newsletter to 87 non-subscribers, I won't let my clients do because it is unethical and it's not a good business practice. So having data from 50 million people.
Or 87 million.
Million.
Million, billion.
Yeah. And getting this information in an unethical manner, I'm going to say, like, this is illegal. Someone needs to hang. Not literally. But getting this information, it literally is like a pot of gold. If I ethically had that kind of data, which through Facebook I kind of do, but in general, if I had such...
that broad reach.
Like, you don't understand how much money just simple mailing lists sell for. Like 30,000 people. This is a gold mine, right? So the thing that really riles me up is people being able to profit off of unethical business practices. Well, I won't even get a couple bucks off of, you know what I mean?
So it's a twofold thing, you know, because not only is it unethical business practice, but then that same data is being turned around to influence an election and sway cultural opinions.
And that is the thing that blows my mind the most. But on top of, I'm sure, all of the money that they were able to make and sell this and whatever they're able to do with the data. But the not only the method, but the end result and the intent behind it is so malicious that I'm kind of speechless.
So this was, and it's getting back to, well, what's the so what? Because I brought this up to you. I said, if this was just a data breach and 50, 87 million profiles were...
Oh no, now people know I'm on a site where I'm going to cheat on my wife.
That's happened.
Yeah.
You know, I think most people would say, all right, well, it happened.
Let's fix it.
But, like you said before, the implication here is much different. It is that...
Steve Bannon.
Well, I mean, regardless of whether you're right-leaning or you're left-leaning, if this was Hillary Clinton's campaign...
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Because we're in a new age, absolutely, where we're using social media for campaigns, for... it would be digital marketing for politics.
Just everything.
But where it gets weird is not only are you having this funded, so Robert Mercer's, that they're hedge fund billionaires who have funded a lot of Steve Bannon's ventures like Breitbart News and Cambridge Analytica, essentially paid for this mining of data. And that isn't necessarily just, hey, I'm Donald Trump and I want to be your president and bring jobs back to the United States. It's these targeted ads like the Islamic State of France or the Islamic State of Germany. And we are sowing the fear-mongering of Islamophobia. Immigrants is the big one now, if you haven't noticed. If you haven't noticed, I don't know where you've been.
You're a rock.
But this is the type, I think where it becomes nefarious is it's, well, we've also been finding out as well with Facebook, and we're kind of tying this back to Facebook as well, that there are essentially Russian trolls all over Facebook.
Well, that's the other part of it, right? That's the point part where, as I was sitting in this coffee shop, it just kind of was an oh my god moment because, through the like past couple years, and I think if we think about it, probably the majority of us have seen this happen. Do you need this back?
No, I don't.
Okay. To where there's a fake profile using your pictures, using some of your information that's popped up, and your friends and you have reported it and Facebook's done nothing about it, right? Mm-hmm. But these exact same kind of profiles and trolls and fake, I don't know if you want to call them bots or whatever, or but just these fake profiles are some of the ones that act as the most inflammatory underneath these political posts. So, for example, I still see them all the time, and I know Twitter just did a pretty good job of trying to get rid of fake profiles, but Facebook specifically, and this is one thing I have a huge problem with, has not taken, I guess, reporting fake profiles seriously enough, because there is still a fake profile of me, there's still a fake profile of my aunt, even though it's not me, right? Mm-hmm. But these are the kind of things that they've been doing to in order to help influence our and so on top of all of that, there is this Steve Bannon connection to Cambridge Analytica, who is doing all of these things
for
to
the Trump campaign.
Manipulate Americans. And it's kind of hard for me at this moment, and I'm going all the way left, to not think that it has something to do with Donald Trump. I don't think for a moment that. And I like how he says, well, I hadn't even announced that my campaign was going on yet. To me, I mean, he's a businessman and he has very, you know, long sight. And I personally wouldn't put it them well, past them to sit down at the table and say, hey, this is what I can do for you. Like, if you give me a job later.
So here's where I tend to disagree a little bit.
Well, because, you know, he's the middle and the voice of reason in this relationship. So
mm-hmm.
I didn't say that.
Mm-hmm. I think someone like Steve Bannon, because we're also talking about a company that has done a fair bit of good. I'm not defending Cambridge Analytica, but they have
and a lot of bad.
They've done well. This is a serious egregious thing. But what I mean is, they've gone in. They've been asked to create profiles and target and figure out why people are radicalized under is jihad essentially. So what I mean by that is they're put on these fairly classified, high profile, if you will, jobs by government, so government contracts. So I just think when you're looking for the Trump link, as much as it's right there, it's Steve Bannon worked for Donald Trump. Well, I bet you Donald Trump knew, and that's why he got the job. I don't think so. I think that this company and the people there are far more calculated than that and would never reveal that to protect their guy.
Of course they wouldn't reveal it.
So again, what's very sticky about this entire thing is that all the major players here have an ability to step back and go, I had no idea Facebook can do it. And, you know, it's not like Mark Zuckerberg's going to step up and be like, yeah, I knew about this the entire time. My guess is he probably didn't know about it.
I don't think that Facebook is the quote unquote bad guy in this situation. I think that Facebook is the river that people chose to paddle down in order to get to that final destination.
Yeah, I think just like, you know, I can't ever think that Mark Zuckerberg sat in his dorm room thinking that this was going to be the way it was going to be. I think that these tech giants are evolving so much as we move on that we're sort of learning things as we go. And like you said, there are people there that are going to exploit the loopholes. They're going to exploit the back doors, and they're going to use it to their advantage.
Yeah.
In this case, Cambridge Analytica used this to their complete advantage for a political candidate. And Again, I don't care if you use social media for your politics, but you can't do it unethically. And as far as I'm concerned, you do have to be held accountable to that. What I think will come of this is
you can't manipulate and you can't use psychological warfare on Americans.
So this is,
you can't do it.
John and I have talked about this before, and it's the repeal of the Propaganda Act. And it's very interesting. So he's going to hate me for this, but we're going to do it anyway. The Propaganda Act was essentially repealed. And what that meant is that essentially the Department of Defense, the State Department, could use propaganda on American citizens where they couldn't before. They could only use it on foreign entities. So this is not the government necessarily working for, or the existing government necessarily working with Cambridge Analytica. But this is an idea of what could, this is just the repeal of those type of acts, leads us down this road. It's analogous. And I'm curious to see where this goes, from a perspective of regulation with Facebook. And Zuckerberg is going to testify. The FTC is already
next week
digging into this. I think he goes
Capitol Hill,
the Federal Trade Commission. I don't think he's subpoenaed. However, he is going to go and you gonna go see the pups real quick. All right, and we will see where this goes. And we're coming back to the question of convenience here. Why does it matter? Because I've said this, like I said, over and over. You need to be aware of what you're reading. You need to be aware of what you're watching. You need to be aware of where your sources are coming from. And if you don't care, if it just fits your narrative, then you're lazy. And you're not doing any justice as a citizen. That when you find something online that sounds right, you know, it sounds like it fits your narrative, and it's gonna propel your idea forward. Be very careful about where that's coming from. The internet. I don't care if you think fake news is CNN, fake news is Fox News, fake news. There is a reputation there, and so what you're seeing on Facebook and the news sites that are popping up probably aren't as reputable as a lot of these other sites you can go to. So
did you tell them my story about the fake newsman who chose to believe fake news even though he knew it was fake news?
I did not. I was going to let you do that.
Oh, good.
So go ahead.
Thank you. Sorry, not sorry for interrupting. Okay.
You're good.
So one of the conversations that I have had, and obviously I have these conversations on purpose because this is my job. It's my job to understand how social media works. It's my job to understand how people in general think and use social. And it also is very important for me to understand fake news and all this good stuff. So point being, I was having this conversation and I pointed out to an individual that the article he shared was incorrect. And
was it incorrect because, okay, never mind. Sorry.
It was not factual.
It was www.incorrect.com.
Incorrect.com. And this person said to me specifically, I know it's not true. However, I choose to share this article and give this more clout because it fits my narrative and what I want to believe. And I would rather lie than give these other people 1 minute of time on my Facebook wall. And I was blown away and absolutely disgusted because if you listen to the last podcast I was on, you might understand why in my life I'm just kind of chasing the truth. I just want to know what's right, what's wrong. And that doesn't have to go left or right. For me, a lot of the times that's straight down the middle because right is right and wrong is wrong. And that's kind of another just general example of what Nate was talking about, fake news and kind of holding your own self accountable to making sure that the information that you're consuming is legitimate, because it's very easy to throw up a website or just, you know, use a domain, URL, whatever you guys want to call it, to say, I have www.foxnews.com and then throw in a dash IP, UX, any kind of thing. The only thing that the, we'll say, layman's person or general person on the street is going to zone in is that it says www.foxnews. And that's it, right? Mm-hmm. And so you could throw up that domain and you could put whatever you wanted on that website and you could make it super sneaky. You could do dash US and maybe people are going to be, or like .us.com or .un.com, .eu. And people are going to be like, oh, well, maybe it's a Fox News over in Europe, or that's pretty cool. And they're not going to look into the legitimacy of the site when it could be complete satire. And there are websites like that that share news stories. There was a news story not too long ago, a couple months, I even tricked my developers with, because I'm testing all this stuff out all the time. That was a fake news site. And they posted a story that a man had gotten cremated. I'm laughing already. That a local funeral home, this new person that they just hired accidentally cremated this poor man who was just so tired after working for so long that he was sleeping. He was taking a nap. They thought he was dead. And so they wheeled him in and the people were like, we heard him scream. And that was when we realized that it was, but then, you know, it was too hot and it was too far gone. And, oh, we're just so sorry. And even my developers were like, oh my God, how did that happen? To where I waited long enough and they were like, this can't be. And then they started looking and checked, but immediately they
went,
oh my God. And that was because I shared this and I was like, guys, look at this. This is a crazy story.
There was a lawmaker, you can find it, that just was making an argument in open session. And I don't even remember what the bill was about. It was about protecting athletes or students or something like that. And he started part of his argument by reading an Onion article about freshman students hazing seniors to put them in their place preseason.
Oh, so good.
For real? So, well, we're about 40 minutes now. I think we've beat this to a dead horse, unless there's anything else you...
I mean, I could talk about this forever, but...
Yeah, and we will come back and talk about this. This is a little precursor. So, more to be seen about Cambridge Analytica. My prediction is that no heads really roll. Maybe I'm that guy. I've said this about the Trump campaign over and over. Mm-hmm. Heads are not going to roll.
Nobody's being held accountable for anything. So why is this any different? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe. Mm. I just think that people are in positions of where they can scream ignorance, and it will be very hard to link X,
honestly,
Y, and Z back.
If they were smart enough to do what they did, and obviously this is a person from Cambridge, They're smart enough to cover their tracks and not link themselves to people who they shouldn't have linked themselves to. So,
ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into the Mod State podcast. As always, go to our website. It's modstate.com. It's been a pleasure. And so until next time,
au revoir.
We'll see you.